let me just say I'm not concerned anymore, because joining us right now, folks, is Mike from around the world. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Pastor Paul, doing well. God bless you.
God bless you tonight, Mike. My screen is frozen. The people can hear me good, and they're all there, and they have a chat room working. But for me, I have a black screen, no chat room. All I can do is see the ticker running on the bottom, and I can see there's 7,500 people. That's all I got. I got Mike and just me and you tonight, okay? So here we go.
Well, now you're operating like I normally am.
In the dark, right? In the
That's
dark.
Right.
All right, Mike, huge things are happening since you were here last Thursday night. Can we start with the Baltimore Bridge? You know, I mean, I've watched this video over and over and over, and it sure looked to me like this boat was hacked, or somebody turned it straight at the pylon. All right, Mike, can they hack a boat? Can that be done?
Well, yeah, those container ships, right?
Yes.
They are controlled by Azipods. Something of the like. So that's an electronic ship, right? That's a total electronic ship. So yes, it can be hacked. And in fact, as of 2023, I believe it was October, they were testing a system where when the ship comes in, it could be controlled remotely, right? When it's in port like that. So because normally they come in and the harbor pilot or your harbor master would take the con of that ship. They would transfer thrust and direction to somebody in Baltimore in this case, and give commands for that ship while it was in port. So once that captain shifts control of steering thrusters and propulsion, either on that little control stand they have on the bridge, it has a remote system connected with it. If somebody were to hack the computer system, they could block people out. I do not believe it lost all power. That's almost impossible. I just can't see that scenario. You're looking at a ship that is, you might as well say 100% electronic, right? To lose
right.
power means, you know, all 13 computer systems went down, seven APUs went down, the two generators went down. It's just too much stuff to go down. And if it did go down, then somebody coordinated something to take it down. You just don't shut power off to a ship like that.
No,
I don't believe they lost power. I believe it was still, still under some power, and I believe they had some issues. But those ships can be hacked, right? Immediately when that ship wrecked, they came on television, and they shouldn't have done that, but they were trying to appease the public. I guess they think the public is full of people with that. Just buy anything, but they said this is, there's no evidence of a terrorist attack, right?
Yeah, how can you say that in 1 hour?
Right, here's the problem. In order to declare that, you have to know what the cause actually was. You can't declare it was no terrorist attack, and you haven't had the proper agencies check out the computer systems, the affiliated control mechanisms and personnel. You just can't do that. And so, I thought that was kind of a dead giveaway. You know, you say something like that to kind of change direction in the conversation. So, I do believe that something nefarious took place. I don't believe it was what they suspected was in the beginning. I just can't see that happening.
No, I'm with you. I don't either. And I did see when the boat was, and folks, I'm sorry, Mike has turned up as high as I can get him tonight. We're having technical difficulties here. I got him cranked up as high as I can. So, you know, turn yours up as high as you can. Maybe even go to your settings and adjust your input and your output to the max. okay? And bear with us, okay? It'll work out. Mike, the boat also, this ship also, I did see the lights go off and then back on, off and back on. But then I seen the ship turn. And when it turned toward the main structural pylon. And then you see black smoke roaring out of it because it cranked up its propulsion and just gunned it. And I know these guys running this ship didn't do this, okay? They're screaming for over an hour that they didn't have control of it. So somebody did. Either the thing went, AI took over. Did AI take over? Did Russia do it because Putin said he was going to pay us back for the massacre he thought was us? Is it a terrorist attack? We've had 10 million people come across the southern border and they got jobs working everywhere now. We've talked about this a lot. What is your thoughts, Mike? I mean, I know you can't, we're just speculating here, but what is your gut telling you, or what intel may you have?
Well, think about this, basketball. With a ship like that, right? A ship that big, and let's take a ship like the Ernst Kramer or something like that. About the same thing. These ships have azipods on the bottom, right? Or these thruster pods, and what they are, normal ships, the old ships had propellers, right? Two propellers, one propeller, whatever it was. These new ships can have up to 13 to 20 azipods on the bottom. What they are is individual thrust pods, right? So that ship can actually turn in any direction on a dime, right?
Okay.
In without changing its orientation. And so it can go left, it can go right, it can go backwards, it can go forward, whatever the case is. Smoke did billow out of that ship prior to it impacting the bridge. But that generator, anything with an azipod, the generator explicitly supplies power to the ship, right? It doesn't go to the propellers. It supplies power to the ships. It generates electricity like a big city. And then, of course, the azipods control that thrust. In this case, that ship, the currents were. I checked the currents. That's one of the first things I did. The currents were kind of strong in that direction, and it looks like they just simply lost control. And when I say lost control, that means somebody else could have easily taken over. It's too convenient to lose control where it did, for nobody to respond. That was what, a 4 minute gap, right? And nobody responded, and so. Yeah, somebody or something happened to where these guys just did not have directional control of that ship. But the way these ships are made, I'll say it again, somebody could easily hack one of these ships. One of the biggest problems we have right now is trouble from the inside, not the outside. If in normal terrorist cases, you would think a threat would come from the outside, right? Like somebody had to hack externally into the ship. Well, that ship, right, is the ship and the folks who work for that company on that ship, going back and forth to Singapore and various parts of the world. You don't know who they are. You just don't know who they are. And most of the terroristic threats that we've had in America this year alone, they don't talk about them. And they didn't talk about the ones last year because we're not talking about people from external countries. We're talking about people who are born here in this country. And that is a major, major, major problem. And I suspect it's going to heighten because of this Hamas-Israeli conflict, basketball, has heightened chatter to a level no one has ever seen before. No one has seen that much chatter behind that. It is a huge deal. People feel some weird conviction by way of Hamas. They do. And they would rather see, they would just love to see Hamas be vindicated in the Middle East over Israel. We're talking about people who are here, right? Who are here in this country. Their parents here in this country, born in this country. Their grandparents, the same thing. but they are loyal to their respective countries, right? Just because a person is foreign does not mean they were born in a foreign nation. You have a lot of people over here that have roots, especially since these 23andMe and all this DNA stuff. You have a lot of people who are loyal to whatever that DNA says they're from, right?
Right.
And ever since that has happened, it's almost like the loyalty base in this country has been fractured deeply. It is a big problem. And so this ship, and I'll just make a bold statement, this is not going to be the last attempt, but things like this ship, right, they're going to take place more and more. I suspect something is on the way. I do. And I believe last time we were talking, I was telling you about that. That dream about that tablet. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
It was on the tablet in leadership. They were trying to get it to leadership, and it was incredible. It was horrible because these guys, the plans they had laid out was on that tablet. And here we are. We have this boat issue, and then we have another issue in Florida, and then we have there are multiple issues, and with the eclipse. I hate to say this, but this is not the time for people to gather in these large groups. But,
no.
I suspect this is the beginning.
Let's talk about Florida. The one thing in Florida, we had this huge fertilizer plant, the largest one in America, that caught on fire. It was 4 hours between that and the boat. And you know that the ship, I mean, there's tons of fertilizer, and not just fertilizer, but hazardous material, chemicals. I mean, they made sure all that really, really dangerous stuff went across the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Right.
Now what are they going to, so what are they going to do now? I mean, our agriculture is in trouble. Where are they going to get enough? Can they get enough fertilizer and nutrients to plant this year? I mean, this is dangerous.
Yes, it's pretty bad. You know what, Pastor Roland, it's funny too because of this boat. Now, I can't tell you who. I cannot tell you who did this, but prior to the boat crashing, somebody named the elements of that event, right? About 10 hours before it happened. So it was almost like knowledge before this took place of that boat crash. Somebody knew about it, right? Somebody suspected that would be the case. Now, that can only be possible with planned events. And to take that further today, they made an emphasis to tell the public that they are, they're checking computers. They're checking to see if any of those employees had phones or cameras or any electronic device in which someone could use the radio transmitter inside that device. You can hack a ship through any electronic device, even the ones that have no transmission or receiving, technology. You can still utilize that device to send to bounce radio signals and commands to infrastructure or intranets or extranets or internet-based things. So they made a point to tell the public, hey, we are. I believe it was that was at the White House too, I believe. But they said they were checking to see if the employees had any electronic devices that could have been used for terrorism or something like that. So they have an emphasis on the electronics of that ship, which should let everybody know they have checked many things out and it seems normal. Now, the next best thing is that somebody went in there and hacked that system. Somebody did something with that system, causing that ship to do what it did. And there's not a mistake. You can't make a mistake that big, right? Not like that. Not with all those folks on board.
I agree. Let's talk about Israel for a minute, because I, before you came on, I did explain about the UN resolution that was put on at the Security Council, and for the first time ever, we didn't stand with Israel. We just abstained and let this thing go through. And then the Pentagon this afternoon, the DOD said that they are talking about creating a fund and putting a plan together for a peacekeeping force that would be multinational or could be just a Palestinian peacekeeping force that would be take care of Gaza after the war. Israel responded and said, "You're insane. There's nobody coming in here. We're going to rule and take care of Gaza ourselves." Okay. And so we got that problem. Then we have Israel. You know, we have the red heifer. We'll get to the red heifer in a minute. We just heard that France, Emmanuel Macron, has just announced that they are working on a resolution that he wants to bring to the Security Council and to the floor of the General Assembly that says Israel must cease fire, and there must be, we need to do it now and recognize Palestinian state. He's putting that on the table. What if the United States decides not to even reject that? What if we abstain again? What's your thoughts on this, the Biden administration having abstaining? What did this just do to the relationship with the United States and Israel?
Well, they already have a consensus. They already made up their mind, so to speak, basketball. They are going to disarm Israel. They're slowly approaching that. They're going to force a type of peace, you know, in the Middle East by way of Israel. And then other parties, they're going to do this through direct maintenance, you could say, right? Because, you know, of course, any peace policy, you must have power to keep the peace, right?
Right.
So they have to have armed elements in that, over there in strength to keep whatever peace they establish. But as you can see, clearly they've made up their minds. In the word of God, right, all nations come against Israel, no exclusions. And in this case, we can see it as clear as day. If a country abstains, right, that just simply means they're going to let everybody else make those decisions.
Right.
And the reason why we did that, the reason why the USA did that, is because of the pushback from these folks who are sensitive to Hamas. This is an important note. These folks that are in charge, you know, that was a real chicken move right there. Really,
yeah,
was.
Yeah.
It was, because we're going to have pushback from those who are sensitive to Hamas anyway. Watch and see. Those in America, those people in America who are loyal or have these real deep emotions, they seem to have for Hamas, right? You cannot appease people like that. In fact, they should have done the opposite. They should have let everybody know exactly where they stand with our long-held policy of being allies to Israel all the way, right? To show those people who are loyal to Hamas, this is the USA, this is not some foreign country. And our ideologies just don't change because, you know, some of the young people don't like what's happening. You know, that's how we lose our identity, is when we start trying to please these groups who hate the USA and who love the Middle East and these countries in the Middle East. So that was a huge mistake. But as you can see, they've already, by not saying anything, they've already said they're against Israel, right?
Yep, they have.
Any ally out there, if it's in fact an ally, you put your foot down and say, no, we stand with, you know, our ally in this case. They should have said, no, we stand with Israel, knowing that we're the voice of authority for the Western world, right? We are.
Yes.
So why in the world would we abstain? For what reason? And I believe there's no answer. You know, leadership is in bad shape. We all knew that. And this just proves the fact that through policies of compromise, not really peace, but compromise, you know, things are going to fail faster and faster. France, as I continually utter, France is untrustworthy, right? They are
right.
Like, I'm not going to use any names, but they are untrustworthy. Their loyalty is towards, in the end, is towards their own survival. They're like a friend who would love you to pieces until they themselves are threatened. And then when they are, right, you're going to find they're not your friend. They weren't your friend. They were just, you know, they're looking out for themselves. So France is that way. By coming up with this forced peace deal,
Right. Forced
They're
peace.
actually speaking to Germany. They're speaking to all those countries who want, but this is newsflash, the world right now wants a forced peace in the Middle East. They don't want Israel to discuss it anymore. They don't want that. They want it forced.
Yep.
Now, that's their sentiment. They want it forced, and they want that forced now.
And a forced peace deal is not peace. What this is a hijacking of a sovereign nation, dividing it in half with the force, brute force of the rest of the world's power and threat to Israel. But this is prophecy, as you said earlier. This is exactly
Yes,
what the Bible said was going to happen, and we're watching it happen. It started, it's been going on a long time. Chuck Schumer just kind of let the cat out of the bag when he stood up on the floor of the Senate and basically called for the overthrow of the Netanyahu government. He even called for the overthrow of the Israeli government, not just Netanyahu. So we had that. We've had the squad running around crying and whining. We've had all of this protesting, and then we have an impotent president who's nowhere to be found, and that's by design. And we're abstaining. We're stepping back. We're going to let the world take care of it. And you're right. This forced peace. This could bring about tremendous war. And now it's going to take us to the red heifer. I want to come back to the red heifer first, and because just today, as you know, they've already got the ramp done. It's built to do the sacrifice. They got the four red heifers. They're all qualified. They're now 2 years and 2 months old, so now they all qualify. They just had yesterday a conference in Shiloh on how to do the ceremony. They brought young Cohen priests, virgins, young men who were trained on how to do this procedure. They brought a bunch of them in. They're ready to go. And the third temple is next. So you got all this happening, and Hamas says the reason they attacked Israel was because of the red heifers and the threat of the third temple. Do you see not only the world trying to force this two-state solution, and you see the world disarming Israel? You've been telling us this for 2 months. Are we about ready to see, though, a major Middle East war? Are we on the brink of World War III even? What's your thoughts?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I know we've had wars and world wars, in our time already, but we're at the brink of a severe war, right? I mean, a severe war, one that will just make all the other wars seem minuscule. And there is no avoidance to what we're about to enter into. Unfortunately, it doesn't matter who's in leadership at this point, right? That doesn't matter. What has happened over the course of just a few years, other countries have rivaled much of our defense tech, right? They really have, and because of that, they are a true opponent of the USA. And so everybody understands right now they have to act fast. Even to the building of the temple, Pastor Paul, they know that they're running out of time, right? They do. And they have to coordinate the all those dedications and everything with God's holy days. They understand they're running out of time. They're running out
Yes.
of time. And they cannot, they can't drag their feet on this. They have to be very prompt in what they're doing, right? Because they're going to do what they're going to do in Israel. And the Middle East, in the meantime, you have Jordan starting to show its fangs, right?
Yep.
Jordan is King Abdullah. He's starting, all these individuals in the Middle East are starting to show their fangs and what they really want. Now that Saudi Arabia is just doing a power grab, right? That is absolutely going to change everything even further than what it is. More hatred is being spewed against Israel, but the difference now is that countries have the ability to back up some of their rhetoric, right?
Yeah.
That's the difference. Before, they didn't have the proper military weaponry and training, right, and experience to do anything about
You
it.
just
So they just taught. It's not that way anymore. It's just not that way. If those armies are modernized, right? If the USA could stop the hostilities around the globe, we would have done so, but we cannot. We can't. So anytime you see even the USA understands that we have to be ready on two fronts. We have to be ready for China. We have to be ready to assist other countries that may be at odds with China. We have to be ready for North Korea. We have to be ready for the Middle East. Turkey's a wild card. Continued support and, or let's just say, the financing of the military has a big question mark beside it because of Iran's wealth and because of Saudi Arabia's wealth. People will learn this year that many have been lying about Iran and how much money they really have. And when that comes out, people are going to get quite hostile. I think Trump will let that one out. I'm pretty sure he will,
Yeah.
because there have been many lies and people have the wrong picture about the Middle East. And so all these things that were in the dark, they're coming to the light. People are going to know about the power, the influence, the expansive reach of Iran. Iran is not some backwoods, country under a rock. That's not what it is. It is a formidable foe. And all those things are going to become painfully obvious. But the Middle East is going to be reshaped and will become somewhat the center of everything in this world, right? It's already shifting. And it's almost like there are several in leadership right now, not the White House leadership, but other roles of leadership that are, they're saying they can't, it's very hard to watch this centralized power be distributed directly overseas, right?
Yes.
And because we utilized management of resources all around the globe in a very irresponsible way. We did, you live and learn. But with the leadership folks that we've had that don't really seem to care too much about, the USA's position and its responsibilities, over the course of several terms, we've dropped the ball in some things, right? And so now the reality of our laziness, I guess you could say, is catching up with us. So the propaganda's not matching the reality of what's happening in the world. We're going to find that out painfully. A big war, yes. Is everybody preparing for it? You better believe it. Is the USA involved in this? It is target number one with Israel, right? Israel is a major target of most places in the Middle East. So is the USA. Do they have the ability to cause both to burn at the same time? Yes, they do.
That's
Yes, they
a
do.
big
And
statement.
so,
That's a big
yes, they do.
statement. Yeah. All right. Now, the eclipse is around the corner. Everybody, look, people are wondering about it. I mean, I just did an interview that's going to be on this week or this coming Thursday on CBN, but television, and it's going to be really, it was a very well taped interview, and I'm excited about it. We talk a lot about the eclipse. We talk about Israel as well and everything going on. And then I'm also going to be the night before, on Sunday night, April 7th, before the eclipse on the 8th, I'm going to be doing a 2-hour show on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and that's 2 million listeners. And he wants to talk about these things we're talking about, Mike, for 2 hours because he feels this eclipse. This could be a sign from God. My question to you is God, I mean, what's the odds of this eclipse happening with everything else you just talked about tonight?
Simply aligned itself with well, the Lord has already walked through these days. He did declare the end from the beginning, so God is well acquainted with these days. I
Are
really
you
think it is a big sign.
worried about the fact that there are National Guard being a lot of different agencies, FEMA, the Department of Homeland Security, I mean, all kinds of agencies up and down the path of this thing. I know that they got to keep peace and order, and there could be problems, and the traffic's going to be outrageous. But are you a little concerned about it? Are they overplaying this?
No, they're underplaying it because,
Wow.
Pastor, we have a terrorist problem within the USA right now,
Okay.
right now. And just to be blunt, people are going to die from terrorist activities within the USA. They can call it whatever they want, but we have a terrorist problem right now. We don't have a terrorist problem coming. We have a terrorist problem right now. Terrorists right now
Is it
inside
be
this
is
country.
did the southern border, is that part of why we have a terrorist problem?
Well, the border is going to complement it.
Okay.
But think of it this way. Think of it this way. I used to talk about sleeper cells a lot.
Yep.
You don't hear anything about sleeper cells. People used to talk about the Spetsnaz, Russian Spetsnaz troops in the USA. Nobody talks about Russian Spetsnaz troops here in the USA. They used to talk about foreign nations, Middle Eastern nations being trained by the US Army here in the USA. This was as close as what, 2010. This is back in 2010, they used to talk about these subjects. They don't talk about that anymore, right? They don't. They used to talk about training camps here in the USA for several nations outside of the USA. They don't talk about that anymore. And so just because they're not talking about it does not mean it's gone. It doesn't exist. See, that's the point. When they don't talk about something, the public forgets it instantly. But here's the truth. We have an overrun with folks who are not loyal to the USA. They hate the USA.
Yeah.
These folks are in leadership. These folks are corporate executives. These folks are employees at nuclear power plants. Two of the individuals designed power plants, nuclear power plants, right? That were actually taken out of power. You didn't read about that one,
No.
right? They didn't disclose that. And so we have a severe problem. And with this eclipse, they know that the whole world knows where people are going to be lined up within the USA. Now think about this. This event's going to take place starting a little bit southwest of Mexico, all the way up past Maine, right? So all these people from all over the world are coming where? Here, aren't they? To
Yes.
see whatever they can see. They're coming here to the USA. Do you really think all those people are USA loyalists?
No, Lord,
You think
no.
they love America? And
No.
if they get themselves embedded in a big crowd, right? While
Anything could
everybody's
happen.
looking at the southern border, while everybody's looking at, boats coming in from the west and from the east and all this, the real terrorists are going to come in by planes, right? With good passports, with long histories with the USA. And what I'm trying to say is that we have a problem that is, it's a little different than what everybody is used to. But somebody has to see it. The public needs to know that we have an embedded terrorism problem here in the USA, that we have folks that are normally trusted who hate the USA. They know everybody in the USA. They're, average people. They have a history of coming here to this nation, but they hate the USA. And since Israel and Hamas have gotten into this conflict, it really brought about these loyalties. It's really starting to
Yeah,
show who's
it really
loyal to
is.
what. And this that war in Israel with Hamas has the chatter that's developed within the USA has never been as high concerning, talk about the USA, talk about Hamas and Israel. It's never been that high. We're talking about hostilities, hostile statements, people talking about hostilities towards Israel, right? Talking about killing Benjamin Netanyahu and his entire cabinet, and it's coming from this nation, right? So,
Wow.
we have a big problem. I mean, a big
Wow.
problem. And if and people aren't,
So
they're not paying attention. And it's not
you
like
are at this point probably the most concerned that you've ever been for America, for Israel, maybe for a
absolutely.
global conflagration of just explosion of war and rumors of, I mean, really, you've painted a picture that's, I know it's true. It's very concerning. We all wished it would go away. We all hope that we don't, that what we suspect, we hope isn't real. But the truth is, it's more than just real. It's upon us. It's literally upon us, like Apollyon coming out of the pit. Let me ask you this question, Mike, also. I broke this story because nobody saw this, but I did. I found where NASA is firing these three rockets straight at the eclipse on April 8th. Three rockets, and they named it after the serpent deity. Can you, I mean, they say what they're doing is these three rockets are going to check the temperature, because when you have an eclipse, of course, the temperature does go down quite a bit. They want to know what the temperature is during eclipse in the upper atmosphere. I'm asking you a question. How much money does it cost to fire a rocket? How about three of them?
That's quite a bit.
Just to check the temperature, Mike. And why would you fire it straight at this eclipse and name it the serpent deity? Is this another CERN, pagan ritual? What's going on?
Well, ritualistic always, always, which is why the space agencies, and anybody who flies in the air, they're going to have symbology. They're going to use symbology of the ancient gods always. The Apollo missions, same thing. Gemini missions, same thing. Elon Musk, right? There are certain things NASA requires. He has to comply, or he can't send anything up like that. So they're all in compliance with something that rules the air, right? As far as their missile launches, what they're launching is, well, you kind of saw right through it. But why three?
Yeah, why three?
Why three? Why on that day? And for what, atmospheric anomalies in the atmospheres? One is out of concern. The other one is part of what they normally do, right? They always have rituals. Now, think of a ritual this way. Think of a rich guy who hires people because they're good at their jobs. Now, the people may not know it's a ritual. They're just going to perfect their own personal job. But that executive chain, they understand what they're doing. And so they are very specific in what they want, right?
Yes.
So they always disguise it. Right now, we're in a very high spiritual time for witches and warlocks and all that stuff, a very high spiritual time, which means we're right at the time for their sacrifices, right?
Yes.
They deal with real, well, I hate to say it, but real entities, right? They deal with that, real
Yes.
entities. So it's not like a movie, like you see people in a movie, they go do all this devil stuff and nothing is there. No, this isn't the case here. They will have receivers of certain things, right? Things do receive on the other side. Plus, during an eclipse, do you not know that during an eclipse, the sun is blocked? Well, the sun has very special properties. We're talking about beyond what most people are used to. So I can't really see it yet, but it has special properties. The light of the sun is a lifesaver, essentially. Whenever the light is stopped, another power rises instantly. In fact, without the sun, if we had the sun's heat, if we had all the properties of the sun, but the light of the sun was not there, we would all die, right? We could have the heat, we could have all the everything. Just take away the light, and all of us are in trouble, right? We're in trouble. So the sun does a very specific thing. Every time we have a total solar eclipse over whatever place its totality reaches, right, that effect is broken. Let's just say the veil is split in real life. In reality, the veil is split. And so they take full advantage of that, right? Full advantage. Because it does not matter where an eclipse happens. It doesn't matter. If you're going to do atmospheric anomalistic readings or take those tests, it does not matter where you take those tests at, because the atmosphere doesn't stay in one spot, it moves, it's in motion, right? So if you, for example, if you observe the anomaly over South America, it doesn't matter where the eclipse actually has its totality effect, to cast that shadow over, it doesn't matter. You still get the same data, right?
Right.
So what they're doing is, and most people won't put this together because they, well, they're too technical and they may not know about the other properties of the sun, right? I won't mention it because it sounds esoteric or something like that. And there's no real foundation for that knowledge yet. But anyway, it just sounds weird, and it's take too long to explain the foundation of it, but they're going to take full advantage of it, right? Which is why on every total solar eclipse, you always have these, you always have things people record, people see. Right after the eclipse, there's a change in behavior of every area it affects. This always happens. It's historical. People can go back and see. And another big reason is we're in trouble by way of the sun, and they know it.
Yes.
So this is solar cycle 25, right?
Yep.
And the anomaly in South America has grown too much. Now let me explain something about that anomaly in South America. They have to actually arc satellites, right? They have to kind of dip because the magnetic field is almost totally collapsed in that region now.
Really?
And yes. And so the satellites, if they were to fly at a standard altitude, right, they would burn up. There's no protection. Satellites are protected by the Earth's magnetic field. Without the magnetic field, none of the satellites will stay operational past 48 hours. So what's happening in that southern anomaly, and pilots, they don't fly over that area. They take special readings. They're always watching. Pilots have to make adjustments. But that area is growing beyond what they ever expected. It's kind of like this solar cycle, right? They never expected the solar cycle to happen so quickly. Never. But they had to move the dates of everything for this solar cycle. We weren't supposed to be, this level of activity for the sun was not supposed to be until February of 2025.
So it's ahead. So it's, and you're saying this
past scales of activity.
Yeah, so the solar cycle's ahead. The activity is way ahead.
Yeah.
And that means, as you, I believe, and you, and I think you've said that the effect on the sun, you know, this binary system is a whole lot more stronger than what any of us anticipated and thought it would be. And so we're witnessing this. And so it's very interesting now. If you look at the scope of the whole picture, and I titled this broadcast, The Beast Unleashed. And the reason I did that, I said, my Lord, if I look at everything going on right now, I don't just see one problem here or one problem there, or this could get repaired, or we got an issue here. I see an onslaught. I see the hordes of hell being turned loose, and every evil and imagination on men's hearts are on evil continually. That's what was going on in the days of Noah. Are we living in the days of Noah again? Have we come to that point? It's not just a Nineveh. The solar eclipse is going to go over these seven cities of Nineveh. But I'm saying, are we as wicked as it was in the days of Noah? Have we surpassed Noah even?
I think we are. In fact, I think we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. I think we're totally a totally perverted world right now. Right? In the time of Noah, one of the biggest complaints were God said mankind was corrupted, so were the animals corrupted, right? But
yeah.
What people don't know is most of the animals have been affected by genetic modification, right?
Yep.
But there's another component. This tampering of humanity from other things is very real. It costs it costs billions of dollars a year. To really look into that. Major agencies have been set up a long time ago just for that, right?
Are you saying to alter Are you saying to alter our DNA to different whether it may be water,
They're just
food?
robbing people. They're robbing people, Pastor. They're taking material from people, right? And other people are walking among. Think of it this way. Think of it this way. A person is created from the Father. That person has children. So that person gets the Spirit from the Father, right?
Right.
And it continues that way. If anybody has ever tampered with an unsanctioned birth, why would God put a spirit in something he did not sanction? The same thing happened in the days of Noah. God didn't put a spirit in those things. They were partaking of the spirit of their dads, the fallen angels, right? Which is why they have no placement in the heavens, which is why they roam the earth and are known as evil spirits,
Yes.
according to the Book of Enoch. So that same thing is happening again. Too many human beings have been tampered with, right? They allocate $700 billion a year to special adaptations in all countries to monitor, to keep track of all this stuff, right? So to the public, it's just a movie fantasy or something like that. Medically, it's captured from hospitals, given to special agencies. They know it's very real. People inside the government have come out and tried to tell people about this, right? People just about every single day are astounded that you can rebuke those things in the name of Jesus, and their life goes semi back to normal again. What have they been doing? Stealing material. Stealing
Wow.
material.
This is a so the beast has been unleashed. The literally to defile mankind. We are God's creation, and Satan wants to literally ruin God's creation. He's defiling us. Is that right? Is he defiling us?
And think, but a Christian, right? A person who loves the Lord, right? They're challenged every day, right? Me and some others similar to myself, we're looking at areas that are normally not covered like this, Pastor Paul. While we have many worries in the world, one thing that is of an enormous issue is that Christians have become a target of rhetoric. So I'm saying it like this. Everybody out there who believes in Christ is always going to be assigned a person that seems to believe, a person that they seem to share ideologies and things, but they try to change the view of that Christian away from what God has given them. A Christian has conviction. They have certain areas that they know, and nobody ever taught them. And so they go in a specific direction. What these things do is they get assigned to people, right? And they will alter the course of that person. They will start altering the belief of that person. That person will then find themselves embedded with the world in these worldly ideologies, and they're in instant conflict. Well, the next step from that is these people start falling away from the faith, right? Now, in the Bible, the Antichrist doesn't show himself until that falling away comes.
Right.
And I believe it's because of the Holy Spirit. The devil and nothing of the devil can prevail in the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so the more people who fall away, the less occupation of the Holy Spirit there will be on the face of the earth. And when it gets low enough to a specific level, this thing will rise, right? And more every single day, I see more and more Christians compromising with these ideologies of the world, right? Common things like they're in a situation, they don't see that adultery is a big deal. They don't see that cursing is a big deal. They don't see that lewdness is a big deal. They don't see these things as a big deal. Why? Because they like they've been assigned someone who has befriended them and is robbing. It's just stealing from this person what God has given him, which is that strong conviction in these areas that is still an abomination to him, right? So Satan comes around, he smooths everything out, makes everything okay. And before you know, you have a lot of Christians saying, oh, you know, that's fine. That's okay. I can live with this. I can live with that, right? So to me, this world is disgusting. It is absolutely in a fallen state. The problem is that more and more people who once believed in Christ have these assignments. And the people, you know, the people may not know they have someone assigned to them, but I can guarantee you, if they can hear me talking, then they know they have a friend who's been trying to guide them away from godly principles. They've been trying to minimize holy principles of the Lord. And they've been getting people away from speaking about Jesus. right? They speak about everything else, but just don't mention Jesus.
Yes.
Right? Now, you know something is wrong with that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You hear it every day. People say, oh, I believe in God. Yeah, okay, but do you believe in Jesus of Nazareth?
No, they don't like that.
And see, they won't mention him.
Well,
they
even
won't mention God, because God is a title. God is not a name. That's
right,
a title.
Right.
We were given one name, and that's
we're not
Jesus,
even.
And that's the very name they can't. They want people to leave that name alone. But,
you know, you're exactly right. The power of the name of Jesus is the most powerful name on earth and in heaven and anywhere else. And you'll notice that. You're exactly right. Even our Congress no longer will pray in the name of Jesus. People are scared to death. If you mention Jesus' name on television, it just, demons scream. I mean, they literally cringe because of the power. And the Bible says you can't even call Jesus Lord without the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, you have to have God in your life through Jesus Christ and the salvation through Christ and the power of his blood and the mercy of his grace. And this all comes through his name, the name of Jesus. It is the greatest name that we'll ever know. And in this time, aren't Christians going to have to utilize the gifts of the Spirit, the name of Jesus, the power of the blood of Christ? Their faith has got to, we got to quit relying on everything natural and start relying on what God's given us supernaturally. Would you agree?
I strongly believe that. Strongly. Pastor Paul, I've been in circumstances where nothing helps except
Amen.
Spiritual authority, right?
Amen.
And if a person's going to have that spiritual authority, there's still time for them to be in Christ. Right? Still time. But there will come a time when weapons and provisions will fail everybody.
Mm.
And that's not going to be a good day.
No.
For a lot of people.
No, it will not. Mike, Whoopi Goldberg says she's now positive aliens are among us. Are we going to have another run, another disclosure run, or another push? Distraction to keep people from the real problem that's going on in this country and the world?
Did you notice in Sodom and Gomorrah that the people saw the angels, right?
Yes, they did.
God's people saw the angels and perceived them and their authority. The people looked upon them with lust, right?
Yep.
So they were blinded spiritually and just saw them as an object, some object of some fanciful thought they had. The same thing is happening now. So people are being, something is being pulled. They have scales over their eyes that won't allow them to interpret or to see these spirits in the earth. Now, here's what's going to happen, fastball. Because they're numb to spiritual things, the average person is.
Right.
Once the manifestation of these things begin to show themselves, the average person is not going to be able to tell. Only the Christian will, right? That means your next door neighbor is not going to be able to tell something is up with that person. You know how when you're in public, you pass somebody and you say, ooh, what was that? Right? You can, everybody out there, they know when somebody's looking at them because they can feel it.
Yes.
Don't always say that, Pastor, just because when you start talking about this subject, people say, oh, well, they're crazy. No, what's crazy is when you turn around and look somebody dead in the eyes because that person was looking at you and they were about 50 feet away. That's crazy that we can perceive when somebody
Amen.
Is staring at us.
Yep.
So in that same way that we can sense that, right, we can also sense when a spirit, a bad spirit, is around us. Right? You ever go to a place and something, just everything in you, alarms are going off, right?
Oh, yeah.
Something is wrong. You don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
You pass by someone or you look at someone and you won't even engage with them because it's almost like a barrier right there. Well, Christians will have that, but the average person, they're going to be blind to it.
Amen.
They don't have those senses anymore. They can't tell. So even the demons have become normal to them. They won't be able to see it. Christians will, right?
Yes.
So these things, when they come to the forefront, the only people that are going to be sensitive to them are the ones who believe in Christ. And if you haven't noticed, there are a lot of people who are, well, they're not quite like they used to be, right? there are people that are coming into the Lord, yes, but there are also people who are leaving.
Right? Yes, a falling away. It's a falling away.
Yeah, they're leaving. Yeah. And so these people are the ones who are outspoken and everything else. Most of the ones who love the Lord, they're very quiet. They don't make big waves yet.
Right.
They're like David. They'll surface when the time is right. But these things, basketball, are going to be everywhere. Is what I'm saying. And society won't be able to tell them.
Well, don't you think? I think that I think they've gotten used to their demons. I think they love. I think they're almost in love with their demons.
You know, that's why women. I give all women a warning. If anything is approaches you in your dreams, and it is not holy, you better rebuke it. Do not entertain it.
Right.
And these things will come into a person's life any way they can, through any subject, whether it be crazy or sane. They're going to use every avenue to get to a person. So if it's unholy, rebuke it.
Mm.
Right? If it's spiritual, test it. Try it by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Anything from the Lord is not going to run at the name of Jesus, but everything else will.
Amen.
We have spiritual authority. The only thing God did not give us authority over in this earth is our fellow man. He did not give us authority over each other, but we do have spiritual authority.
Amen.
For anything that may use our fellow man. All right. So anyway, Whoopi should know, because Whoopi has, you know, Whoopi has clearance.
Yeah, she probably knows. I mean, she so knows she them know. By name. I think she would know these demons by name. Mike, hey, a week from now, what are we going to be talking about, Mike? What are we going to be talking about? I mean, this is getting dangerous. What do you think is going to happen? What's going to happen?
We're losing, you know, two things. Terrorism is one, right?
Yep.
But I have to warn everybody right now. This is, we're losing our magnetic field.
Okay.
Our magnetic field is about to drop to 10%. Do you know what happens at 10%?
No.
Well, let me put it to you this way. There are several events in history about 200 to 400 years apart, the magnetosphere in certain areas dropped to 10% and caused a mass extinction event in certain areas.
What? So we're on the brink of extinction if we're not careful?
Well, you're going to have certain places where life won't be sustained. Our Earth is starting its cycle again of changing, magnetically changing, which means we're about to go through a flux period. Where nothing is, where everything is out of order. It's like absolute chaos magnetically, right? Somebody could look at their compass and have four north poles.
Oh, my Lord.
Here's the bad part, though. This is how you know leadership knows. They're going to abruptly, people are going to start hearing about GPS and Air Force Command abruptly.
Okay.
Abruptly, which means because we have GPS satellites up there, the Air Force, those are Air Force satellites, by the way. GPS belongs to the Air Force. Or we could say Space Command. And so they have to protect those GPS satellites, right? The whole world uses the USA's GPS satellites, just so everybody knows this. That means the enemy's weapons are guided by Air Force equipment, just so everybody knows that.
Wow!
Right? Everybody needs to know that. So that's the way that's working, but we're losing the magnetosphere, right? Why? Because there's an anomaly. Of course, the sun is about to flip its poles, right? Consequently, scientists do not know. They have no idea why the sun does this, right? But anybody who believes in a binary system, they do understand, which is why it has an average 11-year cycle. It's not precise. Anywhere between 9 and 11 years, the sun goes through its maximums and its minimums. But its poles, its magnetic shifting has begun. But this time, it's going to take the Earth with it. So we have hit a chaotic region. Now, through volcanic eruption, all that material has iron in it. Iron orientates based on the magnetic poles, right? So this is how they can tell how many times we flipped our poles here on Earth through, you know, the rock, the strata. They can tell which way iron has been orientated. They've noticed some small areas where about every 200 years something is taking place. that process has started, and one of the larger flipping processes has begun. Now, this is magnetic, but what it does mean is that once we are in this chaotic mode with the magnetosphere, right, where it's not oriented, or most of that radiation is going to do us damage. For example, fastball from, let me get, see if I can, somebody can correct me later, but I believe it was from 1880 to 1950. The sun and global warming, those track lines were exact, right?
Yes.
So the sun was causing global warming, but something happened in the 1950s, and the solar activity went down, and the global warming trend went up. They separated. Right? Well, something extraordinary happened in 1950, and so we've been on that track ever since, which lets you know they know where global warming is coming from, and it started in the 1950s, right? The separation of the trends started in 1950. The sun is responsible for, I believe, 42% of global warming.
Wow. See,
they're not telling the truth, but the data is still on the internet, right? Everybody knows how to use Google to start putting the dates in there, right? When you do your searches, cancel out all the dates that deal with modern day stuff. Go back to the old dates before all that scrubbed, so you can get some good data, because all that's going to be gone in short.
Mike, also just one last question here. We are approaching the 40 day mark that you, and I'm not holding you to the exact day, but I'm just asking. We're right about that 40-day mark, I think, by tomorrow or so, the next few days.
Tomorrow's the eve of that. Tomorrow,
okay.
That's the eve of it. So it actually closes out the 30th. And
so it's something.
Next time we talk, I'm going to tell you what that is.
Okay, that's fair. Everybody be here next week, guys, and we'll know what it is. But as Mike just said, we're on the eve of it, and there's something about to happen. He'll tell us what that is next time. Mike, this has been a powerful broadcast. I mean, really, you just nailed it. And you've brought to the table your explanation of the dangers of Baltimore's bridge, but the Middle East. I mean, face it, the world is on edge. I've never seen it like this. It's on the brink. It is incredible, the dangers. And I'm afraid that the Biden administration has decided to change direction. That's going to change the course of history. And I don't know if Trump getting, if even if Trump gets elected, will the pieces be, will there be any pieces left to pick up? You know?
As you know, if they perceive, if the Middle East perceives that the sheriff is about to win, right?
Yep.
They're going to engage every plan they have. So either way,
it's chaos either way.
There's no good direction.
It's right? It's chaos either way. Mike, thank you so much for being on with us tonight. We really appreciate it. It was a very great explanation you gave us tonight on these things. And I'll sleep better now. I know that not because things are going to get better, but because I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who's holding my hand. So thank you, Mike, for being with us tonight.
Fastball is always an honor. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. The honor's mine. Thank you so much, Marty. God bless.